Masechet Megillah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches, until Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Aleph. The Perek has gone very much sidetracked into comparing two different things and saying that there is no difference between them except for a couple of things. So the Mishnah says, Eimed Sefarim, there is no difference between Sefarim, this refers to scrolls with Torah Nevi'im or Kesuvim written on them, Bitfinin Mezuzos, to the parchment which has Torah written on it and is put into Tefillin Mezuzos. The parchment needs to be sewn together in the same way. Midrabbanon, one who touches the scroll or the parchment itself, makes his hands Tomei. The Rabbanon said that in order that people don't just touch the holy pieces of parchment with their hands. So in those ways they are the same. Elo except Shasifarim Yitavim Mukhaloshain. The scrolls with Torah Nevi'im or Kesuvim written on them can be written in any language. But with Tefillin and Mezuzos, the parchments inside of Tefillin and a Mezuzah, Eilon Yichtavis Ela Ashuris, can only be written in Ashuris, which is not just any Hebrew, but it is the script which is written in a Sefer Torah. Nowadays, that's considered Ashuris, and that is the only script in which the Tefillin and Mezuzos parchments can be written. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, interestingly, af ba sefarim, even when it comes to the scrolls with Torah Nevi'im or Kesuvim written on them, lo hitiru sheyukosvu el yevonis, the only language which they permitted to be written instead of Lashon HaKodesh, instead of the Hebrew, was the language of Greek. This is learned from Pesukim in Parashas Noach, the bracha, the blessing given to Yefes, one of the sons of Noach, was Yaft Elokim LeYefes. Hashem will make Yefes very beautiful, V'yishkom Ba'alei Shem, and he will dwell in the tents of Shem. Shem was the ancestor of the Jewish people. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel learned from this pasuk that in the tents of Shem, the tents of the Jewish people, referring to the Beis HaMedrash, where they would learn, there would be a beautiful language referring to Greek. The Greek nation was descended from Yefes, and of all of the descendants of Yefes, the nation with the most beautiful of languages was Greek, Greece. And so because of that, it is permitted to write a Sefer Torah in Greek. So according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it is forbidden to ever, even not as a Sefer Torah, just to translate any part of Torah into another language. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it's forbidden. Mishnah Tes, when a Kohen Gadol is appointed, the way his status changes into being a Kohen Gadol, at least originally, was that he would be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil which Moshe Rabbeinu himself put together, and he anointed Aaron with that oil, and all of the Kohanim Gedolim after Aaron also became the Kohanim Gedolim by being anointed with the oil. And this was the case until very close to the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, when Yeshiyahu HaMelech hid that oil. He saw that the enemy was coming closer, Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash were in danger of being captured, and so he hid that Shemen HaMishcha, and from then onwards the Kohanim Gedolim would not be anointed with that oil. So how would a Kohen Gadol become a Kohen Gadol? How would he get that status? The answer is, he would wear the 8 garments of a Kohen Gadol. A regular Kohen Hediot has 4 special garments which he needs to wear when serving in the Beis HaMikdash. And it's forbidden for him to wear the Kohen Gadol's garments. But the Kohen Gadol has an additional 4, and once he puts those on, he now has the status of a Kohen Gadol. Now, as soon as somebody has done that, he has gained that status of a Kohen Gadol, that status remains forever. At least according to this Mishnah, and because of that, even if, let's say, you have a Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol became Tomei. Now, whilst he's Tomei, of course, he cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash, but there is a flour offering known as a Minchas Chavitin, which needs to be offered up by the Kohen Gadol every single day, twice a day. And so a replacement Kohen Gadol needs to be found very quickly on that same day as the Kohen Gadol became Tomei, and he would need to bring the Minchas Chavitin. Now, once the original Kohen Gadol becomes Tohar again, so of course he would go back to being the regular Kohen Gadol. However, the person, the Kohen who replaced him, still has the status of being a Kohen Gadol. And at least according to this Mishnah, that even means that when he serves in the Beis HaMikdash now as a regular Kohen, he would wear all 8 garments. And as well as that, it's forbidden for him to marry a woman who's been married before. A widow, and all of the halachas which apply to a Kohen Gadol would apply to him as well, even though right now he's not practicing as a Kohen Gadol, he nevertheless has that status upon him. And so the Mishnah says, Ein ben Kohen Moshuach b'shemen ha-mishcha, there is no difference between a Kohen Gadol who gained that status by being anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, with that anointing oil which Moshe Rabbeinu prepared, Limarube Begodim, to a Kohen Gadol who gained that status by putting on the 8 garments of a Kohen Gadol. all the duties which a Kohen Gadol generally does. Even if he wasn't anointed with the oil, he's still considered a regular Kohen Gadol. There's one exception, however, the Parah Bar Kalamitzvos, except for the bull, which is bought for a korban if a Kohen Gadol ruled incorrectly. He said that a particular thing is permitted, even though in reality that thing is forbidden. And the correct halacha was that if somebody would do that thing on purpose, then he would be punishable by koreis. And if it was done by mistake, then he has to bring a korban chatos. So when it comes to such acts, if the Kohen Gadol mistakenly ruled that it was permitted to do that thing, and indeed he did it, so the Torah says that there's a unique korban specifically for a Kohen Gadol who does this. If a regular individual does it, for example, let's say the Beis Din rule incorrectly on one of these matters, and an individual follows the Beis Din's ruling, and then the Beis Din realizes that they made a mistake. So in that case, a particular korban needs to be brought. But the Torah says that if such a thing occurs with a Kohen Gadol, and he made the ruling himself, then there is a unique korban specifically when he does this. Now in that posuk, the Torah explicitly calls him HaKohen HaMashiach, the Kohen who is anointed. And because of that, if a Kohen Gadol was not anointed with the oil, then he would not bring this unique korban, rather he would be considered like a regular individual who would bring the other sort of korban. Alright, continues the Mishnah, Eimein Kohen Meshamesh LeKohen She'ovar. There is no difference between the practicing Kohen Gadol to the Kohen Gadol who was once a step-in, replacement Kohen Gadol. Even the replacement one has the status of a Kohen Gadol, as we explained, Elo with the exception of Pariyom HaKippurim V'Asiris HaEifah. The bull which is offered on Yom Kippur, and the tenth of an Eifah of flour which is offered as part of the Minchas Chavitin, those two things can only be done once. Or the Minchas Chavitin is bought twice a day, but only once, and it's part of one mitzvah, and it can't be that two people do it. So there, only the practicing Kohen Gadol would do it. But essentially, the replacement Kohen Gadol is considered exactly the same as the regular Kohen Gadol, just that if something can only be done once, so then the practicing Kohen Gadol does it. Mishnah Yud, until the Mishkan was built in the Midbar in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, so we find in the Torah that the Ovis and other people as well, when they wanted to bring a korban, they just set up a Mizbeach, offered up a korban to Hashem, and that was considered to be a korban. However, once the Mishkan was built, for as long as it was in the desert before the Jewish people entered into Eretz Yisrael, it was forbidden to offer up a korban anywhere except for on the Mizbeach, which was inside the Mishkan. This was for as long as they were still in the desert before they entered Eretz Yisrael. Now, once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, the first city which they got to was Gilgal, and they set up the Mishkan over there, and it stayed there for 14 years. And for as long as the Mishkan was in Gilgal, it was permitted, once again, to make oneself his own Mizbeach, and to offer a korban on that Mizbeach. We're going to see in this Mishnah that not every type of korban can be brought alone outside of the Mishkan, but there were certainly certain types of korbanos which he could do that for. Alright, now at the end of these 14 years, once Eretz Yisrael had been conquered, then the Mishkan was moved to Shiloh, and it stood in Shiloh for 369 years. And during this 369-year period, again, it was forbidden to offer korbanos outside of the Mishkan. After this, the Mishkan was moved to Noiv, and then to Givon. And it was in Noiv and Givon for a total of 57 years. And during that time, once again, it was permitted to offer korbanos outside of the Mishkan on one's own Mizbeach. And then after those 57 years, the first Beis HaMikdash was finally built by Shlomo HaMelech. And from then onwards, it was forbidden forever to bring any korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And all of what we said is learned from Pesukim. So just to summarize, there were six different stages before the Mishkan was built. So for example, during the times of the Ovos, one could bring a korban anywhere. For the 40 years of the Mishkan in the desert, one had to bring it only in the Mishkan. For the 14 years in Gilgal, one can bring it outside of the Mishkan. For the 369 years in Shiloh, one could not do it outside of the Mishkan. For the 57 years where it was in Noiv and Givon, one could bring a korban outside of the Mishkan. And then, once the Beis HaMikdash was built, it was forbidden from then onwards to bring a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. This Mishnah refers to the periods of time where, despite there being a Mizbeach in the Mishkan, it was permitted to bring korbanos, certain type of korbanos, as we will see, outside of the Mishkan, and that was in Gilgal and Noiv and Givon. 14 years in Gilgal, 57 years in Noiv and Givon. Ein min bomer gedoyla levomer ktana. There was no difference between the major bomer, which is the name for the Mizbeach, which was inside of the Mishkan, levomer ktana, to a minor Mizbeach, Ela Pesachim, except for the Korban Pesach. It was forbidden to bring a Korban Pesach on one's own Mizbeach. You had to do it in the Mizbeach in the Mishkan. Now, although the Mishnah implies that it's only true for a Korban Pesach, the truth is the same applies for any Korban which is an obligation to bring. And the Torah says when to bring it. So, for example, a Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. It's an obligation to bring that Korban on a particular date. Or a Korban Tomid, all of these things, where there's a fixed date to bring that obligatory Korban. So that sort of Korban needs to be brought in the Mizbeach, in the Mishkan. However, Korbanos which are an obligation but do not have a fixed time, for example, a Korban Chatos, if one committed certain Averis and he has to bring a Korban for it, so it's true that it's obligatory, but it has not got a fixed time. So that one could bring on his own Mizbeach. And certainly any Korban which is brought voluntarily could also be brought on a Boma Katana outside of the Mishkan. Zaklol, this is the rule. Kol Shu Nidor V'Nidov. Any Korban which is a Neder on a Dova, which as we saw earlier in this Perek, a Neder is a vow to bring a Korban, and an Adova is a vow to bring a specific Korban. You already designate which animal you're going to bring. So since these two types of korbanos are voluntary, korbabomo, they can be brought on a minor mizbeach outside of the Mishkan. But a korban which is not a neder on a dova, meaning a korban which is obligatory, and as we explained, it also needs to have a fixed time, then in a korbabomo, it cannot be brought on a minor mizbeach outside of the Mishkan. Mishnah Aleph, on a similar note, Ein Bein Shiloh Yerushalayim, there is no difference to when the Mishkan stood in Shiloh to when the Beis HaMikdash stood in Yerushalayim. During both of these periods of time, it was forbidden to bring any korban outside of the Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash. Elo, except Sheba Shiloh, as long as the Mishkan was in Shiloh, Eichlim Kodshim Kalim Umayser Sheini, one could eat Kodshim Kalim, which are korbanos which have a lower level of holiness, Umayser Sheini, which is a tenth of one's produce, which one needs to separate and bring to the location where the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash stood. So as long as the Mishkan stood in Shiloh, one could eat Kodshim Kalim and Maaser Sheini b'chol ha'rayeh, anywhere within sight of the Mishkan. He didn't necessarily have to be within the city of Shiloh. As long as he was near enough to be able to see the Mishkan of Shiloh, that's where he could eat the Kodshim Kalim and Maaser Sheini over Yerushalayim. But when the Beit HaMikdash stood in Yerushalayim, Lifnei Min HaChomah, one would have to eat these things within the walls of Yerushalayim. But the Mishnah says, v'chan v'chan, both here and here, meaning both when the Mishkan stood in Shiloh, and both when the Beis HaMikdash stood in Yerushalayim, Kodshei Kodshim, korbanos which have a higher level of holiness, Ne'acholim Nefim Akoloim, they had to be eaten within the curtains. Of course, Beis HaMikdash, instead of curtains, there were walls. But the point is, it had to be eaten within the courtyard of the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash itself, because of the higher level of holiness of those korbanos. Right, and ends off the perek, Kedushas Shiloh, which literally means the holiness of Shiloh. What the Mishnah is referring to is the high level of holiness and significance given to the Mizbeach, which was in the Mishkan in Shiloh, and therefore meant that it was forbidden to bring a korban outside of that Mizbeach, of that Mishkan. Yesh acharei ha-heter. After that, there was permission, meaning once the Mizbeach and the Mishkan moved from Shiloh to Noiv and Givon, it became permitted during that 57-year period to bring korbanos even outside of the Mishkan. However, Kedushas Yerushalayim, the holiness of Yerushalayim, and the significance given to the Mizbeach and the Beit HaMikdash when it was in Yerushalayim, which meant that it was forbidden to bring korbanos elsewhere, Ein Acharei HaHeter, there was no permission granted after that, meaning from the moment that the Beit HaMikdash was built, from that moment onwards, it's now forbidden to bring any korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash.